Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we talk about how to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. And now, here's your host, Stephen Libman, managing partner of Integrity Holdings Group.
Welcome back to the, I almost said Wealth Without Wall Street, but it's the Free From Wall Street show today. We got Russ and Joey from Wealth Without Wall Street. So clearly the names are similar, our hearts are similar, our core values line up a lot. Basically, what we're trying to do is talk to you guys about why we're trying to escape the volatility of Wall Street. I appreciate you guys jumping on here today and spending some time with me.
No doubt.
Our logos are significantly different is the point here. So.
Well, I'm grateful that you had us on at like the best possible time to talk about freedom from Wall Street or wealth without Wall Street. I mean, is there ever been a better time where people are scratching their heads and saying, wait a minute, there's got to be something different. This can't continue on. This is madness.
If you go on my Facebook page over the last couple of weeks, I'm posting pictures when it's up, pictures when it's down, because I can't get comfortable with 1,200 points up or 1,200 points down. Right now, today, we're 133 points up. It's 3 o'clock on April 9th. About to go into holiday weekend. Markets are closed tomorrow. And the jobless claims just got doubled. And Wall Street says, I don't care. I'm going to go up anyway. Like, how do you bank on your retirement that way, guys?
If you can believe that, yes, we have how many millions of people now? I haven't seen this week's. Last week's was 6.6 million. How many people?
The latest thing I saw today was it's going to be 17 million jobless claims by the end of the week.
You got 17 million people filing unemployment. Now, again, unemployment looks a little bit differently today than maybe it has in the past because they're getting paid actually more to not go to work than they were.
Yeah, if you were making $35,000 or less, you just got a raise.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
But the issue in that is that the businesses that are out there running are not running, right? So even if people have money in their pocket, they're not able to spend it at the same rate or at least in the same number of businesses that they were before. And I just don't understand it. If you don't believe that Wall Street is rigged, all you have to do is look at what's happening today and say, wait a second, it actually went up. How?
Well, yeah.
There's no fundamental thing that would tell me it should go up.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, we're putting a bunch of money into our renters' pockets. We're landlords, as you guys know, and they're still not paying rent. I mean, the worst thing the government could have did was say, here's a bunch of money and evictions are paused. You know, right. So that's an interesting, we'll see what those effects are over the next couple of months. But, you know, mortgage servicers are laying off because they know we can't evict. So there's a lot of good things that are happening in terms of us coming together and working with each other. But yeah, I mean, I'm talking, my phone's ringing off the hook. I mean, and yours probably is too, just saying, all right, look, I know that we've been talking to you guys for years about volatility and the cost of volatility. Maybe now's a good time to at least diversify a portion of my portfolio to hedge some of my downside against this severe volatility, right? I mean, as you guys know, or I think we talked about it on your show, my dad passed away 6 years ago. He lost half of his money in the stock market before he died and then didn't ride the wave back up. And that was the first thing that made me start scratching my head going, well, is there some stable, consistent cash flow type of investments that I could get into outside of the market that I don't control? And the answer for us was real estate. And, you know, we've worked together on some IBC things, infinite banking concepts. For those listeners that don't know, read R. Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. Tell us a little bit about that side of your business, what you guys are doing to help people create long-term generational wealth and also be able to leverage that into investments.
Yeah, and thank you for giving the chance to come on too as well. I mean, this is fun whenever you get to talk to people who have like-minded ideas and come from a position of let's have certainty for a strategy and not hope for a strategy. And for us, we really take a very simplified approach to money. Like we look at the Robert Kiyosaki formula for financial freedom being passive income, being greater than our monthly expenses. we put that right in front of us. We fill out the paperwork. We want to know what those monthly expenses are so that we know what is our nut we have to crack in order to be able to say, hey, now I can stop trading time for money if that's my prerogative. And we have a course that builds that, teaches people how to automate their budget, get control of debt, eliminate or minimize taxes. But yeah, what you're saying is that once they have cash flow, where should they put it? And as entrepreneurs, we are great at making money, but really bad at keeping money. And a lot of times we make that that transition really fast. Once we find money, whether we went out and earned it or we went through a course like the one that we have in our financial freedom course inside our app, we're like, oh, let's go to invest. Let's go straight to invest. And sometimes that's not a good thing. So we say, let's run our money through an account that we own and control. As you said, it has stable earning power and also gives us the opportunity to leverage when we're in times like this. And so that account for us is a specifically designed life insurance contract. And for some people who don't know what that means, basically we're buying the one asset that has stood the test of time, going back through all these different depressions, recessions. And it's the one thing that the banking institution, the largest corporations and the most wealthy individuals do. They literally put high cash value life insurance as their safe asset that they put their cash in. And then they start looking for passive income assets to go buy, like what you talk about on your show and what you do personally. And that's kind of where our process takes people through. It's a four-step process of getting control of their cash flow, creating an opportunity fund, picking the path that they want to go on, and then us helping them get there faster.
Yeah, but Russ, whole life policies are a terrible investment. Everybody tells me that. I should get term life and invest the difference.
Yeah, somebody told me that.
You're exactly right.
On a podcast. It's not an inaccurate statement. And that's the thing is that I spent 4.5 years in the financial space as a certified financial planner telling people exactly that same thing. And because, yeah, I mean, life insurance as a whole has been used for that one purpose, to provide a death benefit. And so when someone says, hey, I want life insurance, they think of how cheaply can I buy it? And that's in some ways, it might be a really good process. The customers that we're working with and the people, the entrepreneurs that we're trying to help, they're really saying, how do I get to financial freedom? And what is the best tools to help me get to financial freedom? And so what we're trying to do is create certainty, safeties, and protections against both taxes, losses, and creditors. And so what we try to do is find assets that create that environment. And when we went out and measured it against all other assets, what we found is if we set up an insurance policy like the banks do, for instance, Joey used to work at Wells Fargo before he came to work with me. Wells Fargo has a standing buy order for as much of this stuff as they can purchase. They own over $18 billion of cash value life insurance. That's cash, not the death benefit. That's cash. And that's on their major, C-suite employees that they're using as their safest collateralized asset that we all know what they do with that. They go and lend it and make money.
To me.
Yeah, exactly. and to us and everyone else. And so that's what we do, is that we literally don't buy life insurance for the traditional use. We just have found a way to find an asset that's better than a checking or savings account from which to then go buy the same assets that other people would buy. But we just got a little better mousetrap for it to run through.
Well, and I would just add to that, Stephen, like when people say, couldn't I get a better rate of return investing in something else? They really are pointing back to the idea that this isn't, like, apparently they're thinking this is an investment, that life insurance is the end investment. And as you know, from doing your own deals, and you have plenty of other people that are investing with you through these policies, that's not the end. The policy is just the means to the investment. And it's just like, at that point, it really becomes, well, let's just compare the life insurance contract to your savings account. And by the way, I've never had anybody stand in my office or on a Zoom call and say, Joey, I refuse to have anything better than my savings account. My savings account is the best possible place for cash to reside.
Next to my mattress.
they're angry about it. I mean, you know, anybody that has any significant amount of cash sitting in a savings account, they're just scratching their head like, there's got to be something better than this. I can't just leave it here. I'm losing money by the day if it's sitting in my savings account. And that's because it's not doing anything for them. So all we've done is just replace that with the whole life policy and then giving it way more of what we want our cash to do.
Yeah. And the first time I learned about this, my father-in-law actually gave me Nash's book.
Oh, wow.
Well before I made any money. And I read it and I was like, this is brilliant. And when I have some money, I'm going to utilize this strategy, because what it does is it does a few things. It insulates your family with the death benefit. So my kids and everybody's going to be fine. So it takes that stress as a father and a husband off of me for what happens when I stop being able to earn, because I'm the only earner in my household.
Right.
You know, so your 401k doesn't blow up when you die and then it gives you 10x the benefit to your wife. That's just not how. So life insurance was always a thing that I knew I needed but couldn't afford. But then as an entrepreneur, I couldn't stuff that money into a self-directed IRA or 401k, because then I couldn't leverage it back out and put it into my deals that I controlled because of the arm's length transaction rules. So when I read about this, about becoming your own bank, it just changed my whole life. So we can spend hours on this, but so go to these guys' website, learn more about it. They have great videos and things, and their podcast is great to learn about how people are implementing these strategies to give you that double benefit of a death benefit and being able to control where you can invest that money, where now it's working in two places at once, where before it could only work one place at once. I have a great YouTube video that I'll send you guys to called Millionaire Kids. You know, we did one of these on my daughter who's six, and we stuffed 20 grand into it. We took 15 grand back out of it and we put it into one of my storage facilities. And based on the rate of return that we pay our investors, compounding every 5 years, by the time my daughter is 37 years old, she'll be a millionaire.
That's awesome.
Without having to add anything else to it, right? So compound interest, we're all numbers guys. So we're not here to try to blow smoke. We like to see the numbers. Let's do side-by-side comparisons. Let's just see where the numbers go. Because when the numbers are showing us this is where you can do some things, then it's huge, right? I mean, it changes everything.
Well, here's a good thing, because this is one, and Joey and I are in the process of creating a bunch of this content so we can share with you and others on our website. But here is an idea he and I were just talking about. And because we're in the real estate game, I'm just use houses. I know you're out of the residential space, but everybody can kind of resonate with the house. Let's assume that we could buy a residential house and our down payment was 10 grand, right? This is a rental property. And we're not going to fuzzy the math with trying to figure out how much it kicks off. Let's just keep it simple. The person that takes their money and they put it into a savings account, right? If they had $20,000 of cash flow at the end of the year, they could buy two houses. Well, let's assume somebody had $20,000 a year and they put it into one of these whole life contracts. They could probably buy like one and a half houses. Now, I know there's not such thing as a half house unless you live in Alabama and you see them going down the road constantly, half going this way, half going this way. And that's a divorce, you know? And so we've got in year two, somebody puts 20 grand in their checking account, savings account, they buy two houses. Year two, they do it in their insurance policy, they buy 1.75. It's somewhere around year three where both of them start to buy two houses with the money that they have. But here's where the magic, and you know what this is in year four, the person still buying two houses out of their checking or savings account, but the person in the insurance policy buys 2.1. Year five, 2.3. Year six, 2.8. Year seven, maybe it's three. I have a policy that is now 10 years old, Steve, that I bought in January of 2010. And my dollar that I put in there, I get $2. Last year's growth was actually $2. I put a dollar in and it grew by two times. So that means in that example I was given a second ago, if I wanted to put my 20 grand in there, I come out with 40 grand. So instead of buying two houses like the person with cash, I'm buying four houses. And you can kind of see how this starts to stack up. And that's kind of what woke me up in this world is that, look, my objective is to create passive income, and what those houses or storage units or whatever it may be will start putting income in my pocket. But I want to figure out how I can buy more of those and create more cash flow for myself And when I saw these sort of studies being done, I started seeing what people were doing with it. It got me fired up. Now, I didn't like the fact that now I was going to be the guy that was the life insurance guy, but I really don't care what it is as long as it's making money and it's one of the safer things and better things for me and my family.
I'll add this to it, Stephen, is that, as you know, our whole process is to take control of your finances, which compare a 401k and a whole life policy, not because of their investment capabilities, but because of the control factor. And you just pointed to it from a self-directed IRA standpoint. Your cash now has rules that are dictated by somebody else in a self-directed IRA. It may be great that you have all this cash there and you're like, oh, well, at least I don't put it into the casino of Wall Street. I now can put it into my own deals. But even then, you've got all these rules, right? Where the whole life, man, I am the banker. I get to choose what I want to do. So in our first step, taking control, that's why it's so critical that we know our cash flows and we start this opportunity fund. When we pick a path, that could easily be just being a very passive investor in like some of your syndicated deals, right? And maybe that's the first step for somebody. They say, this is the best way for me to get ahead. But if they're also using this in conjunction with their policy, they're going to get there faster, which is our third step, right? Because if your dollar now is worth $2, now worth $3, now worth $4, how many more deals could they be buying into than if they were just using their cash the whole time? We're talking about getting people financial freedom, freedom from Wall Street, and freedom for time's sake. Like you were just telling us an update on your new baby, right? 5 months old. And like, that's the kind of the picture is our children, in my opinion, are the best picture of what freedom, what we really long for, more time with them, more investment in their lives. We want to be known for more than just being people that made money over our lifetime. Like that is the freedom. We want to get there as fast as we can because those kids, man, I just feel like your baby was just born yesterday. And you just said, yeah, it's 5 months old now. I'm like, holy cow, that just flew by.
Yeah. You know, my wife and I are talking about it kind of jokingly, but half serious about, you know, we're homeschooling next year and people are going, well, that's a big endeavor. Why would you want to do that? Well, the coronavirus has given us a sneak peek into what homeschooling is going to look like. And man, I'll tell you, we love it. My daughter's blowing through schoolwork in 2 to 3 hours a day. We're going outside, we're playing soccer, we're throwing balls around. We're like, hey, you know, we can travel like a couple of months out of the year next year. If these kids aren't in school and we have this passive income from our multifamily complexes coming in, we lived very frugally for the first 10 years of marriage because I wasn't making any money yet. So we learned how to live off of one salary and one that was very volatile because we were flipping houses. So it was like feast or famine. And we figured out how to live off of a pretty tight budget. So now as you get to financial freedom and you're passing that mark and then you're doubling that mark and then you're tripling that mark, you're going, oh, wow, this is real freedom without a ton of cash flow, right? I mean, I used to think I needed to be making a couple hundred grand a year to really have that type of freedom. But if you do what you guys are talking about first, which is understanding where your debts are and what your free cash flow needs to be to replace that and become financially free, then you can take the next step. And let's circle back to this too, because this is a great time to talk about why you need one of these policies if you don't have one. All of our deals that we're under contract on, which is a bunch for the multifamily, that means we don't have any new cash flow coming in from acquisition fees or new cash flow coming in from these deals that we're going to be closing on. Everything hit the pause button with COVID, right? So how much money do we have in the bank? What's our liquidity level? What are we supposed to do? Now, the $2 trillion stimulus package does allow people to go into their 401k and take it out $100,000 tax-free without penalty, and you have to pay it back in 3 years. So if I take $100,000 out and I dump it into all of my bills, and then it takes me 3 years to pay it back, great. I hope you're making a lot of money to be able to save $33,000 extra a year to pay yourself back so you don't get that tax penalty. But guess what I get to do? My wife said to me, what's our liquidity situation look like? And the first place I went was to my policies. You know I have about 70% of what I can take out of those policies out on the street in investments. I have another 30% of that in reserves, which is really about a 6-month reserve if we had to use that to live off of. And that's there. I can take that whenever I want to. And my wife, who's very process oriented and likes, like probably most of our wives, they like some level of comfort. she looked at that and she went, oh, so we're good. And I was like, yeah, thank God we are good. If everything else continues to hit the fan, we're okay for at least 6 months.
That's such a good feeling, isn't it?
I mean, it was such a level of confidence and peace that came right with that.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, when I was an investment advisor back in 2008, 2009, there was so much fear and panic revolving around that crisis. I mean, today's crisis is different, that this one is health related. But the end result, as you were saying, I mean, really what your wife was worried about is, how is this going to affect us financially? Are we going to be able to buy groceries? Are we going to have to move out of our house? Am I not going to be able to buy the kids what I want to get for them? Those are the questions. And that's the same questions that were being asked in 2008, 2009. And I was there doing the traditional thing. So like that, I didn't have money in reserves in a place that I could actually access it. And then at the same time, I couldn't take advantage of the deals that presented themselves over the next 1 to 5 years for those who had cash. And so, yeah, I feel so much better now knowing where our cash is. And Joey and I are just like eyes wide open, like looking around every corner. There's a deal. Where is it at? Let's take advantage of it, because those who have cash find opportunities. Now, we'll say something, and we're actually later on today, this is being recorded on April 9th. So by the time you listen to this, you have to come watch the recording of this. But we actually have our tax attorneys coming on and doing a live Q&A today, Steve. And my conversations with them have come out and said that actually with the 401k withdrawal provision, assuming someone meets all the criteria, whether they had it, a family member had it, or they lost income, whether that be job shut down, business shut down, whatever. And pretty much that includes everybody, unless you own a grocery store or you're in some sort of multi-level marketing health business, right? I mean, everybody else, I think, pretty much could say, yeah, I've been impacted by COVID-19. The way that they've explained it to me is that you actually can withdraw the money and you don't have to pay it back. The pay it back is an option. So, of course, that's what the financial market wanted lobbied in there, is like, let them get it, but let's give them the ability to put it back. And if they put it back, let's don't treat it as a new deposit. Let's treat it as a transfer. So then they don't have to meet any sort of, you know, requirement of how much they can put in any given year. But also they could take it out over that 3-year period of time, spread the taxes out over 3 years, avoid the 10% penalty, and never have to put it back.
So that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we've got people like just knocking down our door saying, I have been wanting to get this money out of jail for so long. This is the opportunity. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to let the tax attorneys tell you this. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a tax attorney. I'm not giving tax advice. But this is what they're telling me. But we're going to go listen to them and verify it. And that is what I've been told. So I'm so looking forward to that for so many people that have been wanting to get it out, to get it into the insurance policies, to then get it into investments with guys like you, that this is the what is just exciting to me. Like,
yeah, it's an opportunity. I think it is a great opportunity. And it's interesting. I just read a New York Times op-ed where it was, of course, you can take your money, but experts say you shouldn't. And I'm reading through the article, and who are the experts? Right?
Fidelity,
the experts are the CFPs,
Vanguard.
The big guys on Wall Street saying, no, 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 don't touch that. And I'm talking to my friends, and I'm like, well, of course the experts are, they only make money under assets under management. If you take your money out of their management, they're losing a bunch of money because they're not managing it anymore, right? It's so funny to me when everybody says, well, what should I do? The market's really volatile. Should I take it out? My advisor says I shouldn't take it out. And I said, does your advisor lose money when you lose money? No. Does he make money when you make money? No. He makes money when you keep your money with him.
Yeah.
Right? So that is a big difference, and people need to understand that. And I'm not saying financial advisors are bad people. That's just how their compensation model works. And like everything else, follow the money, right? So if people only get compensated when they tell you not to move your money, then you're not taking advice from an investment advisor, you're taking advice from a salesperson.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different story.
And I'll add to what you guys are both talking about, and just from a personal standpoint, I wish that this situation that we're in right now was available to me 6 years ago. Like Russ and I, we ventured out, and I had left a bit, job in the mortgage business, over $300,000 a year to start from scratch. I had my policies in place, thankfully. I had over $200,000 in just policies and in cash. So I knew I could make the leap. That was huge because, as you just mentioned, I was the only breadwinner in the house. And I said, man, I know I could do this. I also subsequently had like $200,000 in a 401k that I had quit contributing to 4 years ago, 4 years before that. And I, you know what I had determined is, okay, let's break down. I had to really shake myself up a little bit, okay? Because we've been taught over our lifetime, put money away, don't touch it. If you do, it's kind of like the hand in the candy jar, or the cookie jar situation. If you put your hand in, it's going to get your hand slapped, right? So don't touch the money in the 401k. Don't pull it out. Because why? Because there's a 10% penalty. But then there's like, oh, but you're also going to get taxed on it. And I said, well, wait a minute. These are just the thoughts that were going through my head. I'm going to get taxed on it either now or in the future. I mean, people can disagree. I've not had one person disagree, by the way, up till now. I don't think taxes are going to go up. Everybody says taxes are going to go up, but yet they are.
I'm going to defer them.
Purposely deferring them. Right. So
when it's going to be higher.
I'm going to pay higher tax amount on something in the future. And then I start thinking, okay, wait a minute. I can either take the money out now, get taxed on it now at a rate that I know that's quite honestly going to be smaller than it will be in the future.
Yep.
And the only thing that I'm doing is I'm taking a bet on 10%. This penalty is 10%. And I said, okay, who am I betting on? Can I, by knowledge, by investing myself, getting the education and doing deals that I know and understand, can I perform better than 10%? Then it's a no-brainer. Then this is my money and I need to take control and I need to do something with it. And if I had somebody that said, hey, you don't have to even pay the 10% penalty, it would have been a no. I mean, I would have had no thought process whatsoever. It's like, bang, give me my money and let's get off to the races. So I can, yeah. I can start doing deals like what you're talking about every day.
I heard it explained another way too. It said, do you like how the government spends your money, right? And forget about politics. I'm just saying, do you like how they spend money on your roadways, on your school systems, all those things? Would you like to partner with them indefinitely until you retire? Because that's in essence what you're doing, right? So by deferring those taxes, you're deferring into, you don't know what, but you kind of do know what. You're subsidizing your tax now so that they can spend money on things that you don't like to have it spent. So don't partner with the government. Taxes are not going down. And I know plenty of people that have just said, I'm going to take the hit now, do a Roth conversion, and then let it grow tax-free in perpetuity, or put it into an IBC policy and then leverage that into these investments. So look, I appreciate the time that you guys are taking to go on with this stuff. I think what we're going to have to do is circle back and do another round of this because there's so much more to talk about. But where can people find you? Give us your website. Tell us about the app. Give us some places to go to get educated so that we can figure out how to get free from Wall Street and create some wealth without it as well.
Yeah, no. Well, if it's okay, we created a link and a free giveaway. You give with us sharing that?
Oh, we love that.
Man. All right. So if you go right now to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/free from Wall Street, we've got a free gift to you. We've created a community of like-minded people who are interested in creating passive income, just like yourself. Today, we have a little over 1,300 people in it, and we've added about 30 people a day. And inside of that app, you're going to get access to the stuff we talked about today. We got all sort of free content. Whether it's how to better manage cash flow, whether it's how to set up one of these insurance policies. We have a course called IBC 101, but then we've got interviews and Q&As with yours truly here. Steve, we've had you in there. We've done this and all of that content resides in there. So that way you can actually help pick your path so that you can get there faster and you're surrounding yourself with other people. That would be one of the first things I would say. And then also, if you like podcasting, you're out on the road, Free from Wall Street, and you can also click over to Wealth Without Wall Street and listen to what Joey and I were talking about there.
Awesome. Well, guys, I really appreciate the free giveaway. I'm on that app, and it's really cool to be a part of a community where people are just asking. I'm answering questions about self-storage facilities and what the steel costs we were doing, and then we're also talking about evictions and multifamily stuff. So it's great. I'm in there. It's very much like a network of people that are just leveraging. It's like a mastermind that you get to leverage everybody else's expertise on. I'm in there offering what I can and gleaning what I can. So definitely go over to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/freefromwallstreet and get on that app, and I'll see you on there. Russ, Joey, as always, man, really good to see you guys. And stay safe, stay healthy, say hello to the families. We'll talk soon.
You the same, man. Thanks again for having us.
Thank you for listening. Like what you hear? Be sure to subscribe and head over to freefromwallstreet.com and sign up for our free guides to help you and your family invest with purpose.